Dear KBOO listeners, I have one simple question for you. What is your favorite Hank Williams song? We are dedicating our September 12th Swingin' Country program to the music of Hank Williams, and we would like your input. We are calling it All Things Hank Considered, just to annoy the good people at National Public Radio. So please email us at program@kboo.org and tell us your favorite song by Hank Williams or your favorite song about Hank Williams, and we will play it on the September 12th Swingin' Country show right here on your community radio station. Once again, that email is program@kboo.org. So tune in September 12th at 6 a.m. as we solemnly pledge to play Hank, all Hank, and nothing but Hank. So help me God.
Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration will be Mr. Les Pee Wee Harrison. And other speakers include Imani Muhammad, Mike Crenshaw, Jamo Greenidge, and more. That's Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, September 11th through 13th at venues across Portland. Location, speakers, and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland.
I awoke in breath, tripped upon a thought and brought myself into existence on a warm, wet night. I meditated each idea into a star and then I stretched one open, freeing daylight. Tugging blankets of oceans over my shoulder, I glided on land. I threw sand to the seas. I painted grass meadows until I became impatient with the magnitude of such art. So I tucked myself back into the womb to dream again. Turning to starlight, I found too much white space. So I covered it with daffodils, sunsets, and rainbows. I carved clay animals, kissed them conscious, let their running footsteps sprout habitats for each and every inclination. Then, catching the basics of creation on its own life spread contagiously, carpeting day and night with intention. Meanwhile, I was off planting planets and black holes to grow galaxies. I even twisted time into spiral ropes until I skipped dimensions. Then, sketching stories and equations across the canvas of my imagination and constellations, I decided to pull space wider. Until every edge disappeared. Until every edge disappeared. All right, beautiful people. This is Taria Autry, your host of Poetic License, and I am back this month with another episode. And I'm bringing some special stuff to you this time. So what you just heard was a version of my poem, Growing Galaxies, with background music and instrumentation provided by me via a loop machine. And what we're going to be hearing this evening's episode are students from Caldera that I was so blessed and fortunate to get to work with for 10 days at Immersion One session in this summer. And it was fantastic. They have some incredible things to say. And interspersed in that, we hear some deep conversations about time, because, man, we got into it and it was beautiful. And I'll be playing their poetry, a little bit about how they chose their camp names, and you will also get to hear at least one more track by me. And these are pretty much unreleased, unmixed compilations that I've put together over some time. But I figure people would like to hear some of what I've been up to. And part of this is me getting ready to really start working on some more musical tracks for myself when I head back to Atlanta in the next few weeks. So get ready, stay tuned. KBOO Portland Poetic License, Episode 7 is in effect.
My camp name is Flutter, How I got that was my little cousin, I told her about it, and we were watching her favorite show, My Little Pony. So her favorite character was Fluttershy. She was all like, hey, you should name yourself Fluttershy. I'm like, see, I don't want to be a pony. But Flutter sounds pretty cute, so I decided to stick with Flutter.
I wanted to start by introducing Flutter to you, because even though she is not reading any poems during this episode, thanks to her and Aaron Yankee, Camp Name Chance, of KBOO, these recordings that you are about to hear of students' work happened. Flutter was incredible, spent a lot of time in the recording booth and helped edit these segments down of people's poems and just did some really fantastic work. So thank you so much, Flutter, for that and being able to capture student voices so this radio show would be possible. When students and adults, when we come to camp, we choose a camp name, and it's really an opportunity for us to redefine ourselves, think about maybe who we want to be or some of the characteristics in ourselves that we want to bring out and really make shine. And for a lot of people, it's really an opportunity to do things different. Maybe there's a way we are more back in the outside world, and we get to leave that behind and kind of try on something new that maybe we don't have the space to do in our outside worlds.
My name is Songbird, and my camp name, what it means to me is that I like to sing and just everything artistic, and being a songbird shows that creativity, I guess.
My name is Patito.
There was this one time I was kind of watching like a Hispanic TV show, like this girl that like represented somewhat a thing like me. She liked ducks too. And then I started Caldera when I was in sixth grade, and Moonrock asked me to pick a camp name. I remember the TV show, and then I remember the duck, and then I remembered that I'm the shortest one in my family, and I like ducks, and I like the Oregon ducks. So I was like, hey, look, why don't I choose the name Patito, which in Spanish means little duck.
And I'm about to read a poem I wrote called Behind a Beautiful Rose. I wrote this poem because it relates to parts of my life in a way. Behind a beautiful rose. A rose is so beautiful, so pure, and so unique. A rose that can be related to each and every one of our lives, if only you were to look very closely. The thorns represent the pain and sorrows people go through. The stem symbolizes that even though life can be rough, you can still grow through your experiences. Last but not least is the beautiful bloom rose, which means that after all the good and bad moments in your life, you can still become a beautiful rose.
My camp name is Frosted Flakes, and it actually doesn't mean anything to me. The first year I was going to Caldera, I was on the bus, and I didn't have a camp name. So Magic got on the bus. She was like, who are you? I was like, I don't know. I don't have a camp name. And then she was like, okay, let's figure this out really quick. She kept asking me what my favorite food was. I was like, my favorite food is cereal. So then she was like, okay, what's your favorite cereal? And at the time, it was Frosted Flakes. And now that's my camp name, but it's a different cereal now. But yeah, it's Frosted Flakes. The first year, Lil Bird and Songbird actually made a song about my name. So I kind of got to keep it now.
I'm reading a piece I wrote about water. It's called How Can You Illustrate Water? It seems impossible because you can see it with your eyes, but it's hard to put it down on paper. Maybe putting water down on paper could be lyrically with flow, or maybe physically pouring a glass of water on a piece of paper. I don't know why this topic popped up into my head, probably because I'm sitting in front of a giant lake.
When I first started at Caldera, I was getting on the bus to go to Discovery, and I hadn't picked a camp name yet, and there was four in my head. So there was Cinder, Sparks, Replay, and Lumber. Something about campfires make me really happy, so that was Cinder and Sparks and Lumber. And Replay kind of popped up because I found out of Caldera through a counselor whose camp name is Blue, and I was just talking to her, and one of the things like deal with is I repeat stuff. So that was one of the reasons I was going to see her in the first place. I just like get into habits and I kind of repeat them over and over and over again. So I have a lot of friends who is just like recall me like the repeater or someone like just replay all the time anyway. And then there was a song when I started school for the first time when I stopped being homeschooled called Replay. So it's like represents that time in my life when I finally got into public school. That's how I got it in my head in the first place. And then we were driving on the bus and I kept like asking the staff like questions that I had repeated over and over again. So when I got to camp, I was like, okay, we're just gonna go with this name. So it definitely means like a lot to me because it's reached back as far as at this point, not 5 or 6 years. So, and I've had it, this is my 3rd year at Caldera. So for 3 years, I've been going by Replay. And this poem is called Invisible Rules. It's about gender binaries and just how they can ruin a lot of the things we do and mess up the world we live in. We follow unsaid rules and don't blink an eye. We're taught cowgirls always cook and cowboys don't cry. They say it's gonna be all right, it's gonna be fine, but these binaries are killing us. They make kids wanna die. We look in the mirror and change up our hair to conform to sick rules we know that aren't there. I want you to know this, I want you to hear. These binaries are nightmares, these binaries are fear. Who said blue is for boys and pink is for girls? I just don't understand how that conquered the world. Kids getting bullied because they wear the wrong clothes? We're hurting each other for something so low on the spectrum of things that matter at all. We tell them boys to be monsters and girls to be dolls. What happened here that we let something so small become something so huge that it brings us down to a crawl? A crawl towards equality, a crawl away from fear. It feels so far off, but it still feels so near. We need to let go now. We need to move around. Because I'm telling you, these binaries, they'll tear the world down.
My camp name is Talavo, and what it means to me is that when I first came to high school, my freshman year, I was heavily influenced by a lot of Polynesian friends, and so when I came to camp, I wanted to experience their culture with a name that means something to them, and it means beautiful.
My name is McLovin, and I chose the name because I like it.
My camp name is Neptunalis, and I chose the name because I'm a Pisces, so they're really flexible, they're really creative, dreamy, like always daydreaming, into like esoteric and spiritual things, stuff like that. And Neptune is like my ruling planet, and I've just like always kind of felt a connection to like the energy of Neptune and like what it represents. And
I breathe. My lungs fill with an innumerable amount of particles. Within me, I now have everything that's ever existed. Every soul that was ever born and any life that has ever passed. All is now within me. I reach. Together, we reach for the stars. Alone, I reach for what's beyond. I have dreams of walking on Neptune. I have dreams that everything is me and me is everything. I breathe. My lungs relax to expel all that is not my own. Now, I am only myself, but somehow I'm still everything else.
It's untitled. Why are some of the most beautiful people some of the most hurt? We carry our scars like silver tattoos, golden reminders of what we've survived. Why are some of the most hurt people some of the most beautiful? We carry our love in silver jars, golden urns that hold our guilt. We find solace in raindrops, for they are singular but still a collective force. We find our church in the stars. If we could love ourselves just as our Mother Earth does, perhaps we'd find our way across the galaxy. Why do we subject ourselves to so much hurt? We kill ourselves and sob ourselves till there's almost nothing left. We corral ourselves in silver chains, golden trapeze that tie us down.
This is something that I wrote the other day. I looked out over the water today. I couldn't help but feel so at home. I realized that it was the same emerald shade as your eyes. I saw your soul in those waters, just as I see myself in the sky. I saw your smile in the waves. I felt your kiss in the mists. All of those stones and all those logs, none of them could hold back your splash. I saw your love in the smooth eddies, your sweet touch on the pebbles and river sands. You feed and home many beautiful lives, but your chill keeps me wanting more. I would jump beneath your rushing waters if I weren't bound to be swept away.
So my name is Madman, and I stole it from my brother. My brother always was like a loud and crazy person. and he even went as far as to get it embroidered on his shoes, and I kind of liked that. I was like, that's a good name, so I stole it.
My name is Kid, and I got it because Magic. I had a Jason Kidd jersey on my first day at camp, and I got off the bus, and she was like, Kid is your name, and I just went there, so I liked it. I just kind of grew into it. It was like, it's kind of funny because I'm bigger than a kid. I'm not a kid, but they call me Kid, so it's like kind of funny.
Now you'll notice a lot of people have mentioned the camp name Magic. Magic is an incredible, fabulous person who has been working at Camp Caldera really since the very beginning. And I'll let her tell you a little bit about that herself.
My name is Magic, and I am the kid specialist at Caldera. This is one of the most exciting sessions I've ever witnessed at camp, and I've been at camp, or I've been here for 19 sessions. But this one is exciting because everyone seems to be getting along so well. Well, it all started with SEI, Self Enhancement Incorporated. That's you? Yeah, okay. Caldera came to SEI, and because SEI had students in their program, so Caldera came to SEI and asked if their students would like to come out here for a session. And so that was how the marriage began with SEI and Caldera.
What is your favorite part about camp?
My favorite part about camp is witnessing students from different backgrounds and different cultures and different likes and dislikes get together and to work on a project. My favorite part about Caldera is it's the one part in my life that everybody here works on nonviolence in language and need. And I like the idea of peace. Even though it's hard to come by, this is the one place that I know of that we all work to accomplish that. It's hard a lot of times, but I like the concept of it. So I love it. That's why I've been here so long.
I do too. I like it.
You do too? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Amor. There will be bad days. If for a moment you think no one knows what you are going through, dig a little deeper. Look a little harder, because everyone has been victim to feeling useless. Despite your greatest instincts telling yourself that you're the only one, you have to believe they were wrong. There will be gray days, but unless you reach up to scrape the dark smog away, you will never find the moon and stars are waiting for you. They were made for you. Make your dreams lucid to the world. Be as wild as a flower emerging from the cracks in the concrete. Beautiful because it does not know it is not supposed to grow there. There will be bad days. Take a breath. Open each hand slowly. Now let go. I just picked Amor because it means love. I'm just all about, like, caring. Ever since I was little, I wanted to make sure everything was fair. I think it's part of me being a Libra. Libras are really fair and loving and kind, so I've always taken that to heart and tried to remember, like, I'm just a loving person. This is my next poem. Do not waste your energy on being someone you are not. Being anything other than who you are will only leave you lost and crush your spirit. Own who you are to the best of your capability, for you were born you, the way you are. Do not confuse your being by claiming the characteristics of another individual.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland. You can live stream us at www.kboo.fm. And this show that you're tuned into, it's Poetic License, and I am your host, Taria Autry, camp name Good Sis. And I am sharing with you youth voices from my summer session at Camp Caldera Immersion 1 that just wrapped up about a week ago. And I had an amazing, fantastic, terrific time. And I'm so glad that you are tuned in and listening to the words of incredible youth, many of which I have had the opportunity to work with over multiple years. Some of these youth who are all high school students now, many of them I'm about to graduate this year. Some of them I have known since middle school, and I just feel truly blessed and honored to have shared so many summers, years with them, exploring their art, their creativity, and watching them grow. Now, you can catch past episodes of Poetic License on my website, www.TariaAutry.com. That's www.TuriaAutry.com. I'm going to get you back to some more words of the youth. Thanks again for tuning in.
Hi, everyone. How are you all doing? I'm Nightcloud. I'm 16. I'm going to be a junior at Wilson High School. My first story is about how I got my camp name Nightcloud. The original man who I got my name from was named Eddie Nightcloud. I didn't really know much about Eddie Nightcloud because he was a man with bad history and illegal crimes. I never got a chance to meet Eddie Nightcloud because he was in jail at the time I heard about him. But I did see his mugshot that my mom gave to me, and he did not look happy at all. Eddie Nightcloud, you could just tell that he was a drug person and a strong drinker for his age. So he looked older than he actually should have, you know, looked. He looked like he was like 50 or something, and he was like only like 20-something. Eddie Nightcloud was a Native American man that looked older than he actually was. When I first heard about Eddie Nightcloud's name, I had never actually heard the name Nightcloud before, out of all the Native American names I've heard. And so I decided to take out his first name and just keep NC, which stands for Nightcloud, and just name myself that. My second story is about my experience at Wilson High School. Wilson is the best high school I have gone to because it's the only high school I've gone to. My freshman year was an awesome year for me because I was now talking in school and at home a lot more than I ever have before in my life. And I had a chance to start all over and start talking to people. Talking to people was something that I never did in elementary school or middle school. But it was time to take a risk and step way outside of my comfort zone. When I was younger, I would say like some words to people, but then not really like start a conversation or anything. I realized that whenever I did talk, I would never shut up. And then when I wasn't talking, I was just way too quiet. So my freshman year was a good year for me. Then we go to my sophomore year, which was even better than my freshman year because I had already made a lot of friends from my freshman year. And I knew where everything and everyone in the school was. I was taking really good classes, and because I had grown a lot, mostly with my basketball skills, but just in general as being a person, changing my tude, taking a bunch of risks. It was never easy for me. And I'm really excited to start my junior year because I'm gonna basically have everything now. But the one thing I can say about not talking in middle school and elementary school was that I felt like there was like a bug inside of me that just was keeping me from talking. And there were rumors a couple years ago that I was being paid to do this, but we don't even go there. So I'm just really happy and I'm ready to start my junior year with, you know, having a bunch of friends and talking.
In doing youth work, we talk a lot about resiliency and the ways that people are able to survive situations, overcome them, and really start to fully actualize themselves. And I get to see that happen all the time in the work that I do. And in honor and in a tribute to that, I want to play a song that I really love by a woman out of Detroit. Her name is Invincible, and I just feel this is a cut. So I'm going to share it with you. It is off her album called Shapeshifters.
Even when I want to stop. Even when I want to stop. Is it the release and the anger that makes me murder the tracks? Or the silent majority turning your backs? Is it the passion or the love or the drive or the fate? Is it the knowledge that our lives are a stake? Is it preparing for the moment when opportunity knocks? Even when I want to stop. To all the haters and biters, you motivators and ciphers. My flow's a cadence related to notebook, paper, papyrus. Been on tour with bronchitis, laryngitis. Every night I rock the spiders. Some of these cats acting like they're wearing diapers. And I keep on, even when my hand tires. No labels of vampires, no funders of grant writers. Inspired by freedom fighters before us and coming after us.
for the present survivors of human massacres. You considered suicide when rainbows was not enough and bankrolls was clotted up. It's painful, I brought it up. The truth gotta come out from different angles. It's bottled up somewhere with a ladle from the cradle to my body's dust. Nothing else anonymous to the feeling I get from demanding respect and knowing that I'm earning all my pace. Stay persistent, you determined in your fate. Always changing cause I learned from my mistakes. Even when I wanna stop, even when I wanna stop, is it the release and the anger that makes me murder the tracks? Or the silent majority turning your backs? Is it the passion of the love or the drive or the faith? Is it the knowledge that our lives are a stake? Words, words. YG, Bling 47, yeah, yeah. Finale.
Speaking of Detroit, I had the pleasure to work again with the one and only Isaiah Spriggs, who worked with me with students at Donald E. Long Juvenile Detention Center throughout the spring, and it was just fabulous. And I told him, I was like, you need to come work at camp because you will love it there and you will be such an amazing positive influence on the youth. And he is actually on his way after summer camp later in August or early September. He's going to be heading back to his hometown of Detroit. So I'll let him tell you a little bit about the camp name that he chose.
My camp name is Wizard, or Wizard for those who couldn't understand the first one. And I would say that the camp name really came out of like where I am mentally. Like, I'm always thinking about things in a mystic way. I'm a very spiritual person. I guess the way I could translate that so that the youth could kind of receive it in a way to where it's kind of goofy, but it's also kind of true, is to kind of talk about magic. We're all really magicians, and all a wizard does is kind of helps bring the magic out of people. You know, it's funny because before I got here, I actually researched the definition of wizard on Google. One of the definitions talked about a computer program. It said the wizard helps users solve complex problems by asking easy to answer questions. And I think that that's kind of where I want to be as a youth worker. That's where the name came from.
So I am not exactly sure how Wizard didn't get recorded in the audio booth, perhaps because he was so focused on making sure all the youth got their work done, which I absolutely respect. While we were at the session, I made sure that he created and finished his first ever chapbook so that as he went on his journey, he could share that with others as a gift or as a way to help fund his adventures. And it's called I Be Love. And since I didn't get him recorded, I'm going to do that thing where, you know, you just ask forgiveness later if it's a problem, because I'm going to share just one of his beautiful poems with you, and it's called Journey Anyone. Imagine you are the captain of your very own ship. Imagine the ship is painted your favorite color, and the beginning of your ship's name is Super, or Destined, and it ends with the name of your favorite animal. You are the only one aboard your ship, and you own a map that only you can read. Many have tried to read this map, though. After constant mistranslations, they soon seem to disbelieve it leads anywhere at all. Because of this, no one has boarded your wonderfully crafted watercraft and have left you to captain and crew your journey. This becomes increasingly challenging as the wind picks up and the water gets choppy, though you press on. You, with one paddle per hand, inch your way towards where that map, which no one else can read, is leading you. Your faith is unbelievable. Your persistence is unmatched, and people from land begin to think, maybe there is something to that map. A few people swim from shore, and even more attack the sea with purposeful kayaking to board your ship. Still, not being able to read your map, simply trusting that you can. This is where your ship begins picking up speed. The waves are cut through with less of a challenge, thanks to the extra paddles, and the strength used seems to be way more powerful. The winds begin to work in your sails' favor, and even bring you to a beautiful green and yellow shaded island. An island where there is a community of people who seem to be able to interpret your map. They see what you see. They see where you're going and even offer an even larger ship with food, a crew, and even a motor. Who would have thunk it? A crew? And a motor? How did you get so lucky? You didn't. You didn't get lucky at all. You didn't give up. You paddled through the salt. You were the only one aboard. You were the only one seeing the path on the map. You didn't give up. You believed in you. You worked until you didn't stop working. You believed so intently when no one else did, it was inevitable that others would begin to see what you saw. You didn't give up. You didn't give up. You didn't give up. Now, the journey is just beginning. That piece I just read was written by Isaiah Spriggs from his fresh, hot, off-the-presses chapbook called I Be Love. His camp name was also Wizard. He'll be heading across the country, traveling back to the city of Detroit. So if you come across him in his journeys, help a brother out. Support him in his art. Buy a chapbook. I mean, come on. It's the right thing to do. Wizard, I wish you safe, beautiful, peaceful, wonderful, and inspiring travels. And I thank you so much for being a part of this workshop and all the great work that you did with the students during our time at camp, as well as the work we did at Donald E. Long. All the best to you.
My name is Patito, and I'm going to read Nothing Gold Can Stay by Robert Frost. I like this poem because I feel like I can relate to the beauty of the writing. Nothing gold can stay. Nature's first green is gold. Her heart is too to hold. Her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down today. Nothing gold can stay.
My name is Randomosity. I feel like camp names help you choose a different identity for yourself to show the inner you instead of what people would normally see. I chose Randomosity as my camp name because I'm a really random person and it goes along with my personality. One minute I could be so full with energy, next minute, you know, I could be a little chill. So just, I'm just a really hype person and different. I like being different. Bang, bang, one shot could make a big change. Walking around here like you didn't do a damn thing. Took someone's life for no reason, just because you thought he was a threat. But really, he was more like dirt to you, something you just wanted to wipe off your shoe. What the heck did he ever do to you? You think killing him was going to make you cool? Actually, it made you look like a fool. Randomosity. Gunshots go off in the church now. White boy killed 9, but they're telling us to stand down. It's messed up how we're the ones always getting pointed out. Just by the color of our skin, we seem to be the enemy of the white man. I don't understand when we get killed, it seems to be nothing. It's like every day we have to prove why we deserve living. Life seems to be a competition, a battle for superiority. So why stay in the land of the free and the home of the brave if we're still in chains? Randomosity.
So I had Wizard in my class helping as my assistant, which is fantastic. And I also had Styx in my class. Now, I have known him since he was in middle school. He graduated through the program, and now he comes back and works as a junior youth advocate and a youth advocate, helping the students be successful at camp. And I'll let him tell you a little bit about how he got his camp name.
My camp name is Styx, and originally my first camp name was Skink. That was back in 05. Following year, I changed it to Styx, and that was when I was into drumming. And it just kind of stuck. My passion for drumming has kind of changed, but the name Styx has just kind of stuck because it's just how it happened. I'm just Styx from the Bricks.
For this next part of the episode, I want to just play this incredible conversation that happened. In the classroom, you really never know what's going to come up, what topics people will start to engage in discussion about. And we got into this incredible conversation about time. And so you're going to hear us chatting about the dynamics of time. And then that's going to be followed by a poem one of the students wrote about time after having that conversation. She came and wrote this fantastic poem. And then you're going to hear a song that I've actually never played on the radio of mine, that's still in a draft form, but one of my favorite pieces. And I think one of the things that helped make the class session that I had 13 students in there, so successful was that I left room and space for them to be. Because the life of a writer, the life of an artist, it isn't that you're always engaged in the art. It's that you're engaged in living and then making time and space to capture that life that you live. And this conversation was one of those moments where I just let him be. And what came out of it was pretty cool.
Scientifically, you don't know what time is. We can only measure it. And the only way to measure it is if you have a reoccurring event. You know, because if there's nothing happened, if you're just in time, if you're just in space without like time is nothing,
which makes sense.
But no sense. I think it wasn't like he was in the future, because there isn't really a future if we're talking about time isn't a line.
Right.
He wasn't in the future. He was.
He's in his present.
He was just in. Yeah. He was in his life with every separate present.
Every separate present moment, as opposed to past, future, present, it's just separate present moments. That's crazy.
You guys ever heard of a nothing tank?
Like
sensory deprivation. Yeah, so sensory deprivation.
They put you in that dark thing of water.
Yeah, so it's water that's the exact same temperature.
Oh,
as
and it's
your
salt
body
water,
heat.
And you're because you're floating there.
And you're floating, and it's about this much water, and you go in, and it's completely black. There's no light. There's no sound. It's all sealed.
I'd love to try that. Sometime.
Joe Rogan does that a lot. Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Like when people come out of it, and you could put them in there from 10 minutes, and you ask them when they come out of it how long it feel like you're in there, and they say something like 3 hours. Or like it felt, you know, they were in there for an hour and it felt like it was just a minute. And it just like kind of shows you like when you're not aware of your surroundings and you're not like when you're just kind of like you've turned yourself off, you're not aware of how much time has passed. Like when we sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You could close your eyes and think you blinked, and it'll be the next morning.
Mm. I like read this really cool article, and it was about time and like how it ties us to language and like the way that we live in general. And it was talking about how like if we could find a like if we could convince ourselves, because ultimately time is just a concept, just like anything else, you know. So like if we could convince ourselves that, and like believe that. We could, like, ultimately be free of time, and, like, with that, you're basically free of everything, and you can just, like, be you, like, completely and wholly, you know?
Mm.
And I thought that was so cool. Like, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it had some really cool, like, points, and I really love the idea of that, of just, like, existing, like, purely without any, like, time limits or, you know... anything to make us less of who we are, less in touch with who we are, you know?
And I agree with, it's really interesting because when I think about fear, right? I think a lot of times our fears stem from reflecting on past events and predicting future events, right? So it's like we predict something negative is going to happen, so we fear it. Or we think that something in the past is going to happen again, and so we fear it. But it's like, if we can like work on not living in the past or in the future, because they don't exist, only in our mind, then that means we allow ourselves to be in the present moment to the point where we can make choices not based on fear, but based solely on the present moment. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I think that's a really, like, if everybody could do that, like, it would make things a lot better.
what are ways, like, things that we can do to kind of stay in that present, right, and be in that moment?
Like, and just practicing mindfulness is something that's really helping with that. Like, just, like, going inside yourself or outside of yourself, depending, and, like, just feeling, like, in the pure essence of the word, just, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking stock of, like, what's in your mind and what's around you and what it feels like to be in your skin, and, like... If you focus on that, you don't really need to focus on anything else. And I don't know.
It's so interesting because lately I've been trying to use all of my senses, right? Because I feel like sometimes we're so caught up in our thoughts that we don't even use our senses. Like, you can walk around all day breathing and not smell nothing. Mm. Ain't that crazy? And not smell nothing. And then we think about, you're like, huh, I smell paint now. I smell dust, like,
my chapstick.
I smell my lack of chapstick. I smell my dry lips, like, they smell dusty. No, I'm like,
I feel
my crusty lips, right?
Yeah.
Because now I'm, like, out of my mind, I'm in my body. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really interesting, like, when people talk about yoga and, like, getting in the body, I'm just now really starting to realize, like, what that means.
Because it's so powerful, like, I took a yoga class last term at school, and, like, it just, like, it feels so good to, like, stretch your muscles in certain ways and, like, breathe into them. And that's not really ever something we do, is, like, breathe into your body. But, like, it's so powerful, and, like, it made me feel, like, so amazing for, like, the rest of the day. And, like, I don't know. I think that, I mean, like, our whole culture and just, like, everything about our society is, like, made to, like, hate, like, it's... We're conditioned to, like, hate our bodies, like, you know, a big part of it is so that we will buy more things and make ourselves look
true.
Good and
true.
Make ourselves more confident, but I think our whole, like, kind of government and everything really feeds off of the fact that we're not confident in ourselves, and, like, I don't know, I've always thought that, like, pretty much the biggest, like, I guess, like, stab you can make to a man is just, like, loving yourself and being yourself and, like, accepting who you are no matter what.
Our biggest stab to the man, yeah? Truly, truly.
To the man.
But it feels like our mind is steadily manipulating the way time is moving. Because, like, you just stay caught up in one thing and not pay attention to time. Like, say you're, like, having fun doing something, you don't really realize how long you're doing it. Because you're not really necessarily think about it until you get into that moment.
Because you're mentally traveling into your own space.
And that's the same thing as, like, staring off into space. Like, people say that. Like, you'll just be looking, and you'll just be looking there. People are like, what are you looking at? But you're looking at something, but you're not there. You're thinking about something.
Because you're kind of, like,
you're
looking into the future
thought.
Or looking into the past,
and then you don't notice it, and then when they point it out to you, you can't, like, get back into it. Because it was something you just kind of drifted into.
It just happens. Mm-hmm.
I think that's that mindfulness piece, right? Cause it's like if we, and I don't think necessarily like, all right, I think we should drift off into space sometimes and think about the future and think about the past sometimes. But when we sit there for such long periods of time, it pulls us away from this present moment. And then when we're away from this present moment, we're not able to appreciate it fully. And
I think that's how people, like, get caught up in that time is a line, because all they're thinking about is, like, what did happen. And, like, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, it's not a line, though. It goes out in every direction that is possibly possible.
Because when you think about it, like, so many people have so many different presents. And there's so many different things going on in the world at the exact same time. Like, for us, we could be sitting at Caldera. And for some other people, they could be experiencing, like natural disasters or, like, tragedies right now. And we're sitting here talking about time. And it's just, like, it's strange that... So, like, in the mind of, like, so many people and, so, and, like, what we're taught is, like, past, present, future. And it kind of, like, brings that whole thing again, like, we're talking about it in Connect, where you kind of think you're the center of the universe in your own head. But there's so many different presents going on.
So many different universes.
Yeah. It's so cool, like, to think that, like, you know, you're, like, you don't really think about this often, cause, you know, because you're obviously, you're living your life and you're so focused on you because that's all you know and that's all you are. But... Then when you think about it, like, every other person around you is experiencing not the same thing, but they're also experiencing, and they have their whole lives that they've been carrying, are also experiencing this moment with you.
Yeah.
And I think there's something that also, like, really, when you understand that, like, the way that we're self-centered many times, and then how everybody has stuff going on. For me, I find that when maybe someone acts sideways with me or just does something I don't necessarily appreciate, I don't internalize it anymore. I go, oh, what's going on in their life? What's going on in their world? They put them in this place where that's how they're reacting to everything. And then I can kind of step outside of taking it as like some kind of a personal thing or having my feelings be hurt, and then moving to a place of empathy of like, well, I'm sorry that you're not having a positive moment, or I'm sorry that you're not like experiencing happiness and joy, and be more understanding with people. And I think a lot of times conflicts brew from people not realizing, like, oh, when you like called me out of my name or whatever that was, it didn't even necessarily have to be about me. It's because, you know, maybe you're thinking about that past that was unpleasant, whether that was yesterday, 5 minutes ago, or like throughout your childhood, and so now it's getting projected on me, but it's not about me. And so there's something in power, like having that self-awareness and that breath and that like inner stillness where things don't really rock you off of your path, you know.
True.
I saw a picture one time. It was a really close-up picture and then a really far-away picture. The close-up picture was of a brain synapsis. And the really far away picture was just of galaxies, just to get like just a universal picture. And the odd thing is they look so very similar. And the caption to that picture was, "We are just the universe trying to understand itself."
Right.
So.
Yeah, well,
and we're really stardust cool. too.
Yeah, I mean, we walked out of a supernova.
I just, like, I love that, like, people are, like, realizing that, and that's becoming, like, common knowledge, because it's never been like that, and, like...
The internet's good for something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and, like, it's all about that, like, you know...
It's not
like,
all cat videos.
Awakening, I guess.
True.
So, I love that. It's really cool.
You know, and the folks that were building the pyramids that we still haven't figured out how they did it, I feel like it was like telekinetic. It was like some otherworldly powers, because you know they were using more of their brain than we even use. But you think about a lot of their philosophical consciousness in Kemet, we call it Egypt, but it was Kemet, was around moving through the seven layers of the Ka and the spirit, from like, you know, basic understanding to like high level awareness, was like the aspiration. And like, think of how different that is than in our society that's about, okay, you know, go to school, get a job, make money, buy lots of things, and then that's like success. Like, what a different mindset that is. And when we talk about, well, why is it that we're not, why aren't we building pyramids? It's like, well, because we're spending all this energy in like, how am I going to make $5 more, $10 more, or whatever that is, and like money is central instead of like self-actualization being central.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is a beautiful conversation about time, and speaking of time,
at this present moment,
on a universal level, time is a continuum. It's infinite, and it looks different for everyone. On hand,
but yet we're still.
Dinner is going to be happening in the not so distant future, and it would be fantastic because many hands make for lighter loads. If we could all just teamwork it out and like pick some areas.
Thank y'all for having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I want to.
I like how everything just kind of stopped and just kind of like
time stopped, huh?
Time stopped sometimes. But we're gonna have studio time after dinner. And we're going to come back to, like, deep conversations, writing and art, and I look forward to all of that.
Hey, can I hurry up and get this?
Golden Hourglasses and Burning Watches by Talavo. Time is infinite, a wide range filled with minutes, hours to centuries. Why not enjoy the moments we have now? Because a few seconds from now is unpredictable. For the schedules, why put a time on the inevitable? Each nook and cranny in the universe is home to never-ending possibilities, each dictating what happens next. So to label phases in the three short words, past, present, future, is pointless. Why count up the hours when you are lonely, then have time fly by while having fun? So forget all the labels and just think. While you are here, someone is there, experiencing something different. Time zones. We aren't all on the same page, in the same time. Does the hot sun choose my destiny? So while I stay here, am I wasting precious time? Are grains of sand falling from a sacred hourglass ticking down until my time is up.
Place we retreat and nothing is as it used to be. Lightning may shatter the ground, thunder erasing every sound. Rain so thick we could drown, but I don't care now that I found you.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Love After Apocalypse, a song written by myself, yours truly, Taria Autry. It features Seaside Slim on the acoustic guitar, the violin playing in the background. That's me. And it's actually, hopefully, going to be the title track of the CD album that one day I do plan to release. It's on my list, along with many other things. I want to thank you so much for tuning in yet again to Poetic License Episode 7, featuring youth voices as well as staff voices from Caldera Summer Camp 2015. I am so thankful and appreciative of all the students that I was able to work with, and I just want to give them all a big shout out. Now, there were over 50 students at the entire camp, but in my particular class, I had about 13. And so I just want to give them a big shout out to Talivo, to Songbird, to Replay, to Ransomosity, to Patito, to Nightcloud, to Neptunalis, to McLovin, to Madman, to Kid, to Frosted Flakes, to Flutter, and Amore. Thank you so much for making my summer at camp spectacular. And another big thanks to Styx and to Wizard for helping out with the class throughout the session. And to Aaron Yankee at KBOO, that's KBOO Portland. Thank you so much for being a part of the class and working with the students and helping them get the recording done. It was wonderful to work with you. I always love working with you. I also want to give a shout out to Fern at A6 in Bend, who came in and worked with the class on some beautiful printmaking. Now, obviously, on the radio, I can't show you the prints that the students did, but trust me, they were incredible. They did monotypes, they did linoleum cuts, and they came out fantastic. I also want to give a big shout out to Papa Bear and Moonflower for all the things they do to help keep camp going, and to Moonrock, the education director, and to everybody on the education team and staff year-round, Katone, the camp manager. You know, together they create a space, a safe container where youth can really step outside of their comfort zones, try new things, do things differently, and do that with support and love. And even though I do not work with Caldera full-time, being there for the summer as a teaching artist was really incredible and wonderful. And I appreciate all the great things that all the students at camp did. So Good Sis sends out love to all of you. Be safe. Have a great rest of your summer. Have an incredible, fantastic school year. And I look forward to seeing all of you in the future. And to all the listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. Keep supporting community radio. Hey, there are very few places in this world where you really, truly get the voices of the people. And KBOO Radio, KBOO Portland, is one of those places. And there's so many ways that you can support. So check them out online. That's www.kboo.fm. Support. Don't just be a listener. Be an active participant. Until next month, this is Taria Autry, signing off for Poetic License.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center located at 122nd and Southeast Division. The Festival of Nations is a family-friendly free event in the Midway District. They are celebrating their very diverse community with a variety of music, clowns, face painting, local vendors, service organizations, and other surprises. The Taste of the Nations is a special food area where local families will prepare traditional food, and it will be available for purchase and samples. Again, that's the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Someone has to start this. Everyone else is afraid. You can speak up. You don't have to whisper.
Listen to you.
Why don't you speak up?
Please
come. I have my reasons. You don't want to be implicated with this show.
Stop whispering! Speak your lines clear.